good song. Thank you for that, Dane. You know, I'm so thankful to have Brandon do the offering so I don't have to do it, because I'll be like that offering linebacker going around tackling people. Pay your tithes. That's right. Somebody asked me if I had a clean joke today. I do have a joke. I thought of one. It's just an old one, if y'all want to hear it. Kind of lighten the mood before I get into my message. All right, there was a young boy who was a young teenager who was wanting his dad to buy him a car. Kept bugging his dad, "Dad, you're going to buy me a car? You're going to buy me a car?" And he's like, "You know what? No, I'm not going to buy you a car because you still got long hair. I told you to cut it." And, well, kid comes back after a couple of days and we're like, "You know what? Jesus had long hair." And his dad said, "Yeah, he did. And he walked everywhere too." So, there you go. All right. Y'all ready for the word?
Yeah.
Come on now. Y'all ready for the word?
Yeah.
Okay. If you got your Bibles, open up to 1 Peter 5, 7 through 9. We are not unfamiliar with this scripture. It says, "Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you." God cares about you. If you don't think that God cares about all the little things that you got going on in your life, he does. The littlest thing, down to what you wear, he cares. The great things, he cares about you. Everything you're going through, he cares about every facet of your life. He cares about you. He cares. God cares about what makes you anxious all the time. What gets you going all the time? Why are you so anxious? People used to get anxious when it comes to like ball games, when it's a close game and stuff like that. I mean, how many were anxious yesterday when KU was playing? And it's like, my goodness. I wasn't anxious. I was laughing because I don't like KU. I'm a Carolina fan. But we can get anxious over the silliest things. And it's like, if you just learn to cast that on me, if you just learn to give it to me, I'll take care of it. I will help you through it. I will walk you through it. I will counsel you through this. I will speak in your life to you so you'll know exactly what you need to do if you just give it to me. And a lot of times we'll give it, we'll leave, and then we'll take it right back. And I can't say I haven't done that before, because I have. No wonder. If you're anxious all the time, I said, this is one of the things. You have to give it to God. When you give, you give. In every aspect, give with no strings attached. Even when you're giving your anxiety on over to God, it's like, "Lord, all right, Lord, you're going to have to do this." But he already said he's going to take care of you. He cares for you. Trusting in God is trusting that he will take care of what is making you anxious all the time. When people are faced with anxiety, I'm talking about even with severe anxiety, it gets to the place to where you get shortness of breath. That's like one of the symptoms. Well, the enemy loves when you can't say anything, when you can't speak out the word. That's one of the things, is you start hyperventilating, you're getting all stressed out, and anxiety is coming on in. It's like, he's like, you know, if you just cast that upon him. Lord, how do you do that? Lord, I just give this to you. That thing that person may have said to me, I give it to you. It's bugging me. He says, "Well, leave it alone. I didn't tell them to say it." You know, there's a difference when the Holy Spirit is speaking to you through someone else, and when the enemy is trying to, because the Holy Spirit will hit here, right here. It'll bear witness. And sometimes when people speak, it'll hit here because they want to lay some eggs right there, get you to think on those things. And then you begin to ruminate, and then you're going to just tear your own self up. You become your own weapon of mass destruction. Well, God will speak. He'll speak right here. So if somebody comes and then just tries to do all that stuff, listen, just put on a shelf. It doesn't matter. That's not what God says about you. That's not what you should be saying about you. Speak the word over your life. I can't stress that enough. If we speak it, we'll have more confidence in who we are in Christ. Because we're just saying the same things that God has already said to us. We're talking about we're living under his grace and his mercy. You do not have to go and get a heifer and take it to the altar and have it killed and all that other stuff. You don't have to do that, but you can come to the throne of God, the throne of mercy, and obtain favor from that. You can go to God in your time of need and ask, Lord, why is this bugging me? Because you haven't given it to me. You haven't given it to him. The enemy loves nothing more than to get you focused on your problems and get you all centered on what he will do to you, because the enemy is a bully. I hate bullies. I don't like bullies. You shouldn't like bullies either. We should love what God loves and hate what he... I don't like bullies. They used to have a show back in the day that I used to watch. Don't judge me on this, please. It was called Bully Beatdown. It's an MTV show. You watched MTV? Well, my dad wasn't around, yeah. No, during my backsliding days, I watched Bully Beatdown. And as guys who were just terrorizing people for the, you know, as kids and even into their adults, and then they go and get this MMA fighter to fight that bully, and they usually tear the bully up. It's kind of funny. And if that bully can last about a round with them, he'll win some money. But normally they don't. They quit. Then they kind of shake hands. Man, I was wrong. Sometimes a good beat down is what the devil needs. Why? Because he wants to bully people. I'm talking about the devil, the physical Satan. I'm not talking about people. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. You beat them up with the word. You send them flying. He says in James 4:7, therefore submit yourself to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You send him running. You don't do that to physical people. You don't do that. Don't do that. You don't beat people up physically, but you can beat the enemy up. Because if you don't beat the enemy up with the word, he's going to beat you up with his word. Or he's going to have you beat yourself up. Got to get tough. Now, Paul is telling these young people in the church earlier in the passage of this in the scripture, it says to humble yourself. See, it's okay to say what God's word says about you. But when you start to elevate yourself above who God has said about you and what the word says, then you're operating in a spirit of pride. Humility is the killer of pride, and vice versa. Pride is the killer of humility. When you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, then you are truly walking in the grace of God. It's about exalting your heavenly Father in every facet of life. Compared to the people trying to get others to exalt themselves, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the what? Humble. Satan is looking for those who are prideful in their hearts. That's why he walks around. Because he can't see the hearts of men the way that God can. So he has to sift as wheat. He has to try to find out what you're doing. He's got to sift you as wheat. You know, if anyone behind the scenes is suggesting that people need to be sifted as wheat, I might want to Satan. God is the one who knows the heart. Satan is the one who sifts. If people are suggesting that other people should be sifted, they're working with the devil. That's clear cut. God doesn't sift. He already knows your heart. So basically what they're doing is they're needing permission from other people. Satan had asked God to sift Peter and the other disciples. Satan had asked God if he can go after Job. He needed that permission. In Luke 22, it says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift each of you like wheat, but I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail. So when you have repented and turned to me again, strengthen your brothers. See, a true shepherd will say exactly what Jesus has spoken. But I pleaded in prayer for you. Well, I think they need to be sifted. Well, I think you need to be rebuked by the devil. But I pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail. So when you have repented and turned to me again, strengthen your brothers. That's the heart of Jesus. That's the heart of true shepherds, not to sift somebody. Satan has asked God to sift, but wolves will always try to ask of the leaders. That's not the same thing. Because what ends up happening is they begin to plot evil in their heart towards another in order to sift. Because man don't know the heart of another man. So they have to sift. They'll sift your speech. But it's also good to sift your own speech if you got to be careful what you say. Because some people might be thinking, oh, he's being prideful. When I say I don't lose, that could be, I hope that's not pride, people trying to get in pride. I'm just saying, I just go to him every time. I don't know, I've done it myself, and I've lost a lot. I've done it myself, don't like the results. You got to get to the place to where you turn to God and give it to him and let him fight those battles. You just do what he tells you to do. You just have to walk in what he's told you and be strong with it. Be strong in your faith. Stand on that truth. Verse 33 says, Peter said, Lord, I am ready to go to prison with you and even die with you. But Jesus said, Peter, let me tell you something. Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny three times that you even know me. And as you know, Peter did. Just as Jesus said. Peter fell because he wasn't ready as he thought he was. But Jesus was the one who wasn't the one who sifted Peter and the other disciples. That was Satan. Peter denied Jesus. Satan didn't make him deny Jesus. Jesus didn't make Peter deny him as his Lord and Savior. Satan can't make you do not one thing. And God will not make you do one thing. So we're going to submit to one or the other. That's the beauty of it. That's free will. Well, that person is saying that I have to do this. You don't have to. They don't have the right. Well, they're going to say this about me. Who cares? You don't have to. Well, I'm going to get in trouble. What are you, in fourth grade? I'm going to tell on you. Well, go down. Go and sit somewhere. Come on, man. Y'all know those kids. You may have had a sibling or two that like to stir up fights and start fights and stuff. And then when you finally pop them right back, they go and run and tell their mom or dad. Y'all still doing that today? No, that's what. Family reunions and stuff. Cast your cares on him as soon as it starts. When the enemy gets to that place to where he starts to criticize you, cast your cares. Before it starts, you start repeating it in your mind on what people are sowing into you. 1 Peter 5:8, it says, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a lion, like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Other versions may say, be sober, which means to be self-controlled, not mastered by anything. To have a sound mind, for God did not give you a spirit of fear, what, but of power, love, and or even self-control. Satan is not someone of fear, but he is an opportunist. You know, the only way that some people can get in life is constantly trying to exploit others in a wrongful manner in order to get what they want. They can also be usurping. This is why they will suggest that other people need to be sifted as wheat. What? Because the enemy is using them. Just pray for that individual. Just pray for them. Pray that God deliver them. Speak life into them, but don't back down from what they say. Pray for them. What? First Peter 3:8-9 says, "For God is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but for all to come to repentance." See, that's the Father's heart. That's the true character and the true nature of God, is that he wants everyone to repent and turn to him again. That's what he's about. Why? Because he's for you. He wants you to finish your race boldly. He's for you. He's not against you. God is not out to try to tear you down, to get after you, to try to kill you off. He doesn't miss if he was going to do it. I used to say this joke all the time. I don't know if some of y'all seen The Great Outdoors. How many times you get hit by lightning?
Six times.
Six times? Wow, no, 66. God, if God wanted to hit you with something, he'll hit it. Every single time, if he wanted to. Every single time. He doesn't leave little hints in there. He'll hit you every single time. But when he corrects you with his word. When he disciplines you, he chastises you with his word. And sometimes even reading the word will cut you. But it will soothe you and heal you at the same time. It's a good cut. You have to stand on truth, but also pray for them, because they are constantly being tormented on coming against the children of God. When you stay alert, Satan can't catch you sleeping on a job. He can't catch you sleeping on a job. I used to watch Seinfeld way back in the day. And George was in this clothing store and he saw a security guard just standing there and he's over here talking, well, I wonder if he's okay with standing there, you know. George just couldn't mind his own business. So he ended up talking his security guard into getting a chair, a stool, so he can sit down and still watch the whole store. And then there's one time the store ends up getting robbed and they show the clip of the security guard. He's just knocked out just on the chair like this and caught sleeping on a job. See, Satan wants you sleeping on a job. He is not like God. He is not omnipresent. He has to walk around like a lion. Jesus said, I've come that you may have what? Life. And have it how? More abundantly. Now, how many of you are experiencing that abundant life right now in your life? His joy, his peace, his salvation, his goodness, his mercy. I'm not talking about things. All that stuff will be added to you. It says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and what? All those things will be added. But how many, if you're not experiencing that, I'm going to just send an invite out to you. If you just believe in the name of Jesus and make him your Lord and Savior, will everything get good? No, everything will probably go bad in your life. But in the midst of all that stuff, you're going to have the peace that surpasses all understanding. Well, I gave my life to Jesus and nothing bad has ever happened to me. You won't ever find anybody on the face of this planet that will say that. If you want to make everybody happy, go sell some ice cream. That was kind of like my dream job back in the day. Retired, I want to be an ice cream truck, just bumping music and stuff. And we had an ice cream guy. He was cool. Sold us Pepinos. We call them Pepinos. Sliced up cucumbers with chili powder, lemon on it, salt. Oh, so good. Then he did watermelon like that too. Even better. Y'all got to try it. So good. But how many of you have never had a problem in life? How many of you have nothing but problems? We're in the middle. Satan may come, but when true believers are standing on truth, standing on kingdom business, he can't hurt you. He can't touch you. Instead of him trying to devour you, you end up running him off. In verse 4, the next verse in that, it says, standing firm against him in verse 9, he says, be strong in your faith. Remember that your Christian brothers and sisters all over the world are going through the same kind of suffering that you are. Stand firm means securely or solidly fixed. Fixed on what? On the word of God. Fixed on his promises. Be strong in your faith is not necessarily going out and starting up trouble in people's lives. Insecure people do that junk. Jesus came that he will destroy the works of the devil. So he not only destroyed it, but he also showed us how to keep it going. Handed it off to the disciples. The disciples handed it off to their followers. And then so forth for 2,000 years. Still doing it. Still operating in it. We're still preaching it. Hopefully in every church in this city and in this nation. We're standing firm on God's truth. Not ours. On his. You know how you know that Satan is bullying you? You stop speaking the truth. You get all quiet around people who are saying, speaking a lot of nonsense and stuff like that, and they're countering against you, coming against you and stuff, and you don't want to say anything. You use the word of God. That's not what the word says. This is what the word says. Right here. I'm coming back right at you. Oh, no, we want a debate. No need for debate. Show them the power. When you speak, does God back up what you say? People will listen to others and they won't even be getting a prayer answered for many, many years. Show me your power. Because you should have power. And all you have to do is say, Lord, how come it ain't working for me? And he'll tell you. I said, okay, just make a little minor adjustment. Because you're listening to the wrong voice. That could be. Don't listen to me. Don't take what I say. Go to the word. I didn't write the Bible. So if I'm not enforcing the Bible or preaching the word, don't listen to me. Listen to the word of God. I'm not God. I'm a child of God, but I'm not him. I am not El Shaddai. I'm El Timo. Timotei. Timotei. Satan doesn't want to be respected. He wants to be feared. That's why he'll sow fear. That's why God didn't give you a spirit of fear. Satan will give you a spirit of fear. God didn't give it to you. But through fear comes control. And you can no longer make those decisions without the approval of other people. See? People will use fear in order to control you through that fear. Satan will try to control you through that fear that you may have. Mm-mm. Is some of y'all experiencing that right now? Be free in the name of Jesus. No longer do you have to sit under that. No longer do you have to live under that. Even in your own home, you don't have to live under that. If there's something that you're fearing, fear no more. Still got to walk in love. Just going to have to navigate on how to do that. You don't even have to fear death. Why? Because if you're born again, you're forever secured. You are sealed. Your spirit is sealed. I mean, I said to be absent from the body is to be in the presence of the Lord. That's better than living here. We may miss them. But they're in heaven. They're with the Lord. How awesome is that? They might feel sorry for us. You know, people say, well, if I get to heaven, I say, it's funny because people say, when I get to heaven, I'm going to go talk to so-and-so. I say, you are going to be so in awe with God, you ain't even going to be worrying about so-and-so over here. Are you kidding me? Somebody's over here and you have your Heavenly Father on the throne. Are you going to go talk to over here, person over here? No. Why? He's so good. He's a good father. I'm not worried about so-and-so. Well, you shouldn't be worrying about so-and-so. It's your Heavenly Father. When the enemy pushes you, you push back with the word. Every time. The kingdom of God will always build up and bless other people. The kingdom. Let's build people up. Let's build them up. When you build up and raise up strong children, you don't have to, what does that say? You don't have to, what is that word? What am I looking for? You don't have to coddle adults, coddle them as adults and stuff. If you raise up strong children, they don't become weak adults because they know the word. They know how to pray. They know how to get together with their family and lead their family and pray and stuff. There was a time when I didn't even know how to pray. I wouldn't pray in front of Kristen. I wouldn't even pray over the meal. Part of that was shyness and timid. And well, once I got a hold of that revelation in 2 Timothy 1:7, God didn't give me a spirit of fear. So why am I fearing? Begin to pray a little more. We started with the prayer circles. Remember that way back in the day on Wednesday nights? Marietta helped me with that. Prayer circles. Praying in front of other people. Oh, I hated that. Well, how are you going to pray for people if you can't pray in front of them? See, God would help you in the right way. That builds you up. Make it a point today to build somebody up today. First, start with yourself. If you're down and out, you got some low self-esteem, build yourself up. Because you deserve it. Build yourself up on your most holy faith. Doing what? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Spirit. If you don't have a heavenly prayer language, I suggest you get one because it is so nice. Miss Tammy, do you have a heavenly prayer language? Do you pray in tongues? Yes, ma'am. Build yourself up. No more doubt. No more unbelief. Because to God, you're worth it. You were worth dying for. You build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. And watch what he does. Because when you're doing it, you're praying the perfect will of the Father over your life. And over others. Build yourself up. I'm getting that stare. Should I go there? I was telling my wife to build herself up, but I'm kind of like her hype man. She could be wearing a muumuu. No, she doesn't. Babe, you look so good in that. Hyping you up. God knows the heart of people. In Jeremiah 17, it says this, "But I, the Lord, search all hearts and examine secret motives. I give all people their due rewards according to what their actions deserve." In 1 Samuel 16:7, it says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him.' The Lord doesn't see the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the what?" 2 Chronicles 6, it says, "Then hear from heaven where you live and forgive. Give your people what their actions deserve, for you alone know each human heart." Matthew 9 says, Jesus knew what they were thinking, so he asked them, "Why do you have such evil thoughts in your hearts?" And John 2 says, "But Jesus didn't trust them because he knew all about people. No one needed to tell him about human nature, for he knew what was in each person's heart." People began putting their trust in Jesus because of all the miraculous signs they had done during this time, but he didn't put his trust in them. They trusted him, but he didn't put his trust in them because he knows every hidden motive of people's hearts. The Spirit of God knows. And the Spirit of God will examine all secret motives that we have. Keep your heart pure before him. He's your judge. Keep your heart pure before him. I want to see God do some extraordinary things in each and every person's life. I don't just want to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," for me. I want to hear for you all too. I want to see what God, how God uses each and every person's gift in here for his glory. And you all have one, whether you think so or not. So use it for his glory. You might be retired, ma'am, but you have some gifts still. And you can still use it to glorify God. So don't ever count yourself out. Because he loves you. He cares for you. And I think society has gotten us to the place to where we think, "Well, I need to do this until a certain age and then I'm going to retire." There's no retirement in the Bible. Your retirement is not Shady Acres. It's there, standing before the Lord. We're going to go on down to Florida and just chill, relax, play some golf all day long. Your retirement is when you meet the King. So no matter what you're going through, you can still sow, you can encourage, you can be the biggest encourager on the face of this planet. And if you can encourage one person, that will impact millions of lives or thousands of lives. However, it started with the encouragement that you gave them. I hear a lot of testimonies about people who are impacting a lot of lives, and they'll say, "It was that one person in my life that did that, that spoke this over my life." Just one. Sometimes all you need is one. Just one person. Be that person. Be that person that encouraged someone else to say this, to do this. Be that one person. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible will display the character of God. In Psalms 119, it says, "The sum total of all your words add up to absolute truth, and every one of your righteous decrees is everlasting." So if we truly want to know the character of God, we don't go to the internet. We don't watch movies on certain faith movies or what have you. We go to the Word. You can't deviate from that. And I don't know if anybody ever, usually sometimes beginning of the year, people will do fast, certain fasts. Anybody been fasting lately? Don't, you don't have to raise your hand. But a lot of times people will fast and they'll do stuff for Lent, and well, this is what I'm cutting out. I'm cutting out meat. I'm cutting out Pepsi. I'm cutting out, you know, watching TV. I'm cutting out my phone. I'm cutting out this. I said, how about this? I said, let me just say this. It's going to help you. How about just draw closer to God and allow him to weed out what he wants you to weed out? Because then it gets to that place to where you're so connected with him. I don't need that anymore. I don't need this anymore. I don't need that keg of Pepsi in my basement anymore. No, I don't have one. I don't have one. Don't buy me one. Told my wife, I give her mixed signals sometimes. I said, you went to service and got a snowball and you didn't get me anything? And then she started giving me, and I was like, I really didn't need it. Even though I'm drinking it, I really don't need it. But the more and more you draw closer to God, he's going to say, okay, or you're going to be looking at the thing, I don't really need to smoke. Well, I'm going to just cut this out for 40 days. And then what ends up happening after the 40 days? You go right back to it. So let him cut that out for you. But see, but at the end of the 40 days or however long, you develop an attitude of gratitude towards him. You've drawn closer. He said, if you draw close to me, I will draw close to you. Your relationship with him has gotten better. You wouldn't need to hang out with the same people anymore. You wouldn't have to go to the same places anymore. You wouldn't have to do certain things anymore because he's telling you and leading you. All right, that's enough. So you don't have to beat yourself up over it. I got to cut this out. No, no, no. You got to get closer to God. Because it's not that thing that's sending you to hell. You're forever sealed. But you can experience the presence of God every single day if you just trust him. Get close to him. So if you're fasting, I'm going to fast this. Fast him. I mean, like, as far as I'm getting closer to him, and make that about him every day. Don't worry about everything else, just this. Because then you end up being tempted by that thing. Going to Long John's, no, get some fish and chicken and stuff, or what have you. Man, you guys fill up a row. Keep bringing them. So when you think it's over, it's not over. It's not over till God says it's over. Build yourself up. You ain't seen nothing yet. And you've come from a lot. But you haven't seen nothing yet. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for all you've done, Lord. And as we continue to draw closer to you, Father God, that I just pray that you just speak to the hearts of the people here. You're always speaking, so help us to tune in to what you're saying to us and what you're having us to do. If there's anyone here who's never given their life to Jesus and they want to do that for the first time, just raise your hand and we'll pray with you. It's not something you have to do alone, but you can. And if you're shy about that, his word just says, just believe in his name. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that he's Lord. Jesus, I give you all the glory, honor, and praise, and we thank you for everyone here. We thank you for your peace in our lives. And whatever whatever situation that they're facing right now, Lord, you are turning it around for their good, in their favor, right now in the name of Jesus. And we give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.